On Tuesday, the latest PBS American Experience will explore the lives of the famous Western outlaws, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid. Writer and director John Maggio looks closely into their lives.
You know, Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid really were sort of the last of the great American Western outlaws. And they were being chased. They were being chased by a system that had been set up by railroad men, banking executives, the Pinkerton National Detective Agency. All these sort of forces of modernity were coming crashing down on Butch and Sundance and all the other outlaws that were out there at the time. And it was only a matter of time till they were sort of swept up and put in jail or killed.
They certainly spent some time in Wyoming, and I think that's why people have had an interest in both of them here. Hey, let's start with the Sundance Kid. What did you learn about him that we've probably never heard before?
Well, his real name is Harry Longabaugh, and he was born in Pennsylvania. He was not a sort of product of the West. And what I think is beautiful about the Sundance Kid's story is that when he was just a little boy working in this kind of industrial world in Pennsylvania, he would read dime novels. He was like a lot of other kids in the East who would just were so turned on by the West through reading dime novels and the stories of Wild Bill Hickok and Jesse James and all these great Western characters. So he was a voracious reader as a child, and he got his opportunity to actually go out West. He landed a job on an uncle's ranch out in Cortez, Colorado when he was about 14. So he was sort of drawn there through literature, which I think is a great part of the story and a great bit of information I actually didn't even know about the Sundance Kid. So it wasn't until he was 14 that he actually got out West, learned to be a cowboy and a very good cowboy. And that's what started his life in the West.
Butch Cassidy spent a little time in Laramie. Tell us a little bit about him and what, again, we don't know about him.
Yeah, well, another incredible thing I learned about Butch Cassidy, his real name is Robert Leroy Parker, and he was born to a devout Mormon family. His mother was very devout. His family were some of the earliest Mormon settlers in Utah, which was a hard, hard life for them. The other thing I learned about, too, was he had met a man very early on when he had to sort of leave the ranch to make a little bit of money. He met a man with the last name Cassidy, who would eventually take his name from this guy. But this guy taught him the finer points of how to be a real outlaw cowboy, how to become a cattle rustler, how to kind of cheat and steal your way. That was not the sort of Mormon things he was learning through his family. So once he leaves Mormon country in Utah and goes to Telluride, Colorado, he's sort of set off on the sort of life of larceny with tips that he had picked up from Cassidy, the ranch hand that he met.
So they get together. How do they even meet?
Well, that's interesting. There's a lot of stories that they both were traveling cowboys for a long time. There was a horrible blizzard in 1886-87, which really was fundamentally changed the Sundance Kid's life. He was a wandering cowboy between Montana and Idaho and Wyoming, and this blizzard in 1886 just devastated. 90% of the livestock in that area were killed. I mean, many people went bankrupt, and a lot of cowboys were out of work and basically destitute. And people like Sundance turned to robbing. He tried to rob a train in Malta, Montana, in the 1880s, and after that, he sort of fled. He escaped. It was a failed robbery. They got about $8 each, and his two accomplices were arrested, and they ratted Sundance out. But he got away, and he traveled for a while, working kind of anonymously as a ranch hand, and he ended up going to Browns Park, which is sort of right at the corner of Utah and Colorado, and it was part of an area called the Outlaw Trail. And it was in Browns Park that he met Butch Cassidy, who himself had robbed a bank in Telluride, was on the run. But many outlaws, including Butch and Sundance, could hide in this area that ran basically from northern Montana all the way down to New Mexico. Now, they may have met earlier. It's unclear. They kind of knew some of the same people, but we sort of point to this point in time around in late 1880s that they probably would have met in Browns Park.
Bank robbers, supposedly spectacular train robbers, hear about trains blowing up and mm-hmm. things like that. Then of course, they come across the Pinkertons and the chase scene we all hear about takes place.
I wish it would. You know, what's amazing about, again, that most people's frame of reference is that chase scene in the Redford Newman film. It wasn't quite as concise. It was over a number of years that they were being tracked. But what is so different, I think, about the Redford Newman film and about the real story is that the Pinkertons, you know, while they did have many seasoned manhunters, like the kind they portray in the film, in the Hollywood film, they were much more sophisticated than that. They were keeping these detailed... I mean, the Pinkertons are sort of the embodiment of modernity in the West. They were keeping detailed files. They were using photography. They were able to trace serial numbers on banknotes that were being stolen by Butch Cassidy and the Sundance Kid and their gang, the Wild Bunch. They were able to bring all these sort of modern methods of modern forensic detective work to bear on their chase of the Wild Bunch, Butch Cassidy, Sundance Kid, all the sort of last of these Wild West outlaws. And that's really what caught up to Butch and Sundance. Not so much them chasing them from town to town, but their ability to draw a large net over the West and kind of slowly close it around them.
They do go to Bolivia in real life?
They do. They actually flee to Argentina in the early 1900s, and a lot of the Wild Bunch members that were left behind eventually were killed or picked up by Pinkertons or Marshals or whomever. And it wasn't until about 1903 that the Pinkertons, who remained on the job sort of searching for them, the Pinkertons, remember, were employed by the bankers. They remained on the job, and they intercepted a letter that Sundance had written to his sister in Pennsylvania. And he had dated it and put a location of Cholila, Chubut, Argentina. So after that, the Pinkertons knew where they were. They sent word down. They sent posters down to Argentina. And local authorities went to arrest Butch and Sundance, and they fled. And they fled into Bolivia and then eventually went back onto the outlaw trail, so to speak, and started robbing mines down there. And then the local authorities finally caught up with them.
Are you one that believes they both were killed there?
I do. I do believe that. There's been enough inquest now into it that I do believe that not only were they killed there, but it was a murder-suicide. I mean, it seems, by all accounts, that Butch shot Sundance and then killed himself. They were just backed into a corner. There was just no more running they could do.
John Maggio, a pleasure having you on our program, and good luck with this.
Thanks so much, Bob. It was my pleasure.